I like this sermon. It's one of my favorites I've ever written. I first wrote it when I was in seminary. I had the opportunity to preach in chapel at seminary, and that was always a daunting task to have to deliver a sermon in a chapel full of my colleagues and peers, other ministers, professors, educated theologians. I read the story of Jesus walking on the water, calling to his disciples, urging Peter to follow through with his faith and step out of the boat. And I see a story about taking risks, daring to do something that not everybody is willing to do, going farther than some people think is safe or sane. Faith is a lot about risking. Risking to go where others won't, do what others won't, dare what others won't. When I preached it to my peers at seminary, my urging for them was to go out and be bold leaders of churches, to not settle into complacency and comfort, but to strive to push churches beyond their comfort zone to places where the kingdom of God might burst forth. When I've preached it to churches, and I've preached it to many churches, it has always been a call of mission, I hope. A call to go where Christ leads us, even when we don't fully understand, even when we don't see where we're going necessarily or understand why. Simply following the call when Jesus says, come. Allowing the Holy Spirit to be our guide. Stepping out of the safe and the known, the regular and the routine, into a world where we have to completely trust and lean on Jesus, or we will slip beneath the waves. The scripture begins, the disciples are in the boat. They've had kind of a daunting day. They learned early in the day that John the Baptist, not only a dear friend, but a cousin to Jesus, has been put to death by the Romans. With that weighing heavily on their hearts, they were surrounded by crowds of people who needed something from them, who wanted something from them. And all day they've been teaching and preaching and healing and feeding. And they're at the end of the day and they're just tired. They just need a minute. And Jesus says, get into the boat. I'm going to go off and pray, but you get into the boat and go on across. I'll catch up to you later. And I'm sure that they thought he was probably going to use another boat to come across to them. So they go out and they're out on the sea. Lo and behold, here comes Jesus walking on the water. The disciples are taken aback. It's a ghost. Jesus says, no, you knuckleheads. It's me. Peter stands up and says, ooh, Jesus, tell me to come to you and I will. Now, I don't like Peter very much. He's not my favorite disciple. If I was ranking the disciples, Peter falls around the middle of the pack, I suppose. He's one of the leaders in Jesus' group, he just always gets on my nerves. Right? He's always that student in class who knows the answer and raises his hand. Every teacher says, what's the answer? Oh. Jesus. And I imagine if I was one of the other disciples, especially like James or John, the sons of thunder, that I'd just be sitting there going, oh, come on. First time I preached this sermon, I actually referred to Peter as the Horshack of the disciples. Here's the problem with using that reference. I got done preaching at a seminary. I came down, several of the people I went to seminary with, other ministers, came up to me, many of them in their mid-20s. I was in my mid-30s at the time. And they said, we love the sermon. Who's Horshack? Oh, it hurts. It hurts so much. But I do. I see Peter as that overzealous student, right? That teacher's pet, that suck-up. Sitting there waving his hand, Jesus, I know! Ooh, 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 ooh! Mr. Jesus! Ooh, ooh, ooh! Now, of course, in this role, then, if Peter is Horshack, then Jesus is Mr. Potter. And he's got the 70s afro and the big mustache, and But Peter stands up and he says, "Jesus, tell me to come to you, and I will." Do you think he asked it wanting to get out of the boat? Or do you think maybe he was hoping the answer would be no, stay there? Right? We've all asked those questions before, where we ask it like, we'll take any answer, but in our heads we're really going, say no. Say no. Yeah, it's getting kind of late. You guys just want to stay with us tonight? Say no. Say no. Right? Hey, I'd be happy to help out with that. No. Jesus, tell me to step out of the boat and walk on the water like you. Say no. Say no. Jesus says, come on out. Now Peter's caught. He's got to do it, right? Gets up to the edge of the boat. And it reaches that leg out there. Right? Gingerly, easy. Don't move too fast. Right? Gets it out there. Kind of feels around. But it's out there. Faith is a risk. Ask Abraham. Abraham said, Lord, I believe in you. And the Lord said, I am going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the heavens. And Abraham said, that sounds like a good deal. And then God said, but I want you to sacrifice your son, Isaac. Faith is a risk. When we choose to believe, it's risky. Not everybody chooses this. Many choose not to believe. Many choose not to pursue belief. There are many folks stayed home this morning. It's a beautiful Sunday morning out there. Maybe they slept in a little bit, got a little breakfast, and went to go out and mow the yard. Take care of some stuff around the house before the rain sets in for the next couple days. Got to get all the food ready, right? Got family coming over for a celebration. Going to shoot off some fireworks. If you were to ask them, they would tell you they believe. It's amazing to me the number of families that I get asked to do a funeral for at the funeral home. And the funeral director will tell me they don't have a church. They've never been to church. They don't have a minister. They don't know anybody that goes to church. And I walk in the room and I say, what songs have you picked? And they go, Amazing Grace, How Great Thou Art, and In the Garden. And I say, yeah, I've heard of them. They'll tell you they believe, but that's as far as it goes. They're willing to sit in the boat, I suppose. They sit there, they don't move, they just sit, acknowledging the presence of God, residing in that belief, but not being moved to action beyond that. Not seeking to know more about it. Not trying to challenge it or strengthen it. Now, some will take it a step farther. They'll go to a place of faith, a place of worship to dwell in this belief, to hear stories of giants and storms, of wandering in the desert and finding the promised land, stories of fishermen and carpenters, that maybe something will be fed, nurtured, touched. But that's enough. They come to sit in the boat, hear the good news, and be. And for some, that's okay. But for some, they come to hear Jesus calling. They come to hear Jesus calling that they might respond, Lord, tell me to come to you and I will. They come to hear Jesus say, come on then. For some, they will risk it all to step out of the boat. So Peter has that first foot out of the boat. I'm sure the disciples were all holding their breath, hoping he would fall in. I would have been, right? I would have been. The first step's out. But that was really the easy step when you think about it. Because I've still got one foot in the boat. Right? I've still got one foot attached to something solid, to something safe, to something that I know. Peter was a fisherman. He knew boats. He still got one foot in the boat. So this one foot on the water, it is a risk, but it's not a huge risk because I can still catch myself with the boat. I can still throw myself back into the boat. I've still got one foot that's on solid ground. But now the next step is that I got to take that foot and put it out on the water. I got to lift it up and set it out, and I have to trust completely, 100% in Jesus. When my foot's still in the boat, I'm still trusting in the boat. But when I take that step out, now I don't have the boat anymore. Now I've got to simply say, Jesus, it's all on you. Peter takes that step. He gets that foot out onto the water and finds himself standing on the water. And I'm sure from the disciples still sitting in the boat, there was a collective, ugh. He's going to be insufferable now. So he's on the water and he says, this is it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm walking on the water. Jesus said, come, and I came, and I stepped out of the boat, and I'm on the water, and Peter starts walking, and he's like, yeah, I'm doing it. Look at me. Yeah. Wow, that wind is really, really strong. That is a strong, those are some big waves that wind is causing. And as he gets distracted by the wind and the waves and the water, all of a sudden Peter notices something. His toes are wet. They weren't wet a minute ago, right? Because he was walking on the water. Now his toes are wet. And he begins to notice the wind more, and he begins to notice the water more. And as his toes get wet and his feet get wet, he begins to hear from the peanut gallery who stayed in the boat, we told you so. Told you you shouldn't get out of the boat. I don't know what you were thinking getting out of the boat. We've been in this boat for 103 years. They never had a reason to step out of it. I don't know why you thought you'd step out of it. Serves you right. Hope you get soaked. So now Peter can hear the critics behind him. He can feel the wind in front of him. He can see the waves and the water is now creeping up higher and higher. It's up to his feet and it's up to his knees and it's up to his thighs. And he realizes, well, I'm not going the right direction. I'm sinking. This is not good. He's a fisherman. He's been on the water his whole life. He knows he's in trouble. We get into similar situations, you know, we take a step in faith, we say, hey, we're going to risk something, and we dangle our feet over the edge, and our toes get wet, and Lord, we jump right back in the boat. We start getting distracted by the wind and the waves and the rain and the water. We start second-guessing and doubting and wondering, why did Jesus lead us out into the water where he knew we couldn't really walk? We should have stayed in the boat. It was dry there. Yeah, it smelled like fish and dirty fishermen, but, you know, it was solid and wooden, something you could put your feet on. Now there's just water. And the water's rising. The waves continue to climb on Peter. Now they're up to his chest and they're big enough. They're starting to splash into his face, into his eyes, and into his nose, into his mouth. He starts to panic a little bit. This isn't good. All right, I'm going to go beneath the waves and I'm not coming back. I'm going under for good. This is a bad, bad thing. Why did I step out of the boat? What was I thinking? And then he remembers. He stepped out of the boat because Jesus told him to step out of the boat. And for a moment, he takes his eyes off of the distractions, off of the wind and the waves, and he turns them back to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, save me. And Jesus immediately reaches down and takes Peter's hand and pulls him up out of the water, and they go back to the boat. In our moments of desperation, we remember why we took the step in the first place. Who called us out of the boat? Who is on the water with us? And in that moment of doubt and fear, and we cry out to Jesus, Jesus pulls us back again. When we step out on faith, we step out toward Jesus, and Christ will not abandon us. The waves may crash against us. The wind may blow harder and harder. The people in the boat might make fun of us. Our toes might get a little wet, but Jesus will save us. Jesus will not let us sink. In 29 days, we'll begin our sabbatical. 4-month period where I'll be gone and you will be led by Dr. Casey Sigmund. I'm going to step away to rest, to rehabilitate my spirit, to refresh my soul, to refill my energy. But as I've been thinking about it these past few weeks, I thought, you know, a sabbatical is a risk. It is. You've never done one before as a church. I've never done one before as a minister. We don't know how this works exactly. We have felt our way through it, right? Stumbling sometimes, figuring it out as we go. But that doesn't make it less of a risk. One of our sister churches recently did their first sabbatical ever. Their minister had been there about 5 years, and they said that when he first came, they talked about doing a sabbatical after 5 years. So 5 years came, and he took his sabbatical. And he had an agreement with the church, much like I have with you, that after the sabbatical, he would stay for a year so the church could reap the benefits of his rest and rejuvenation. We have the same type of verbal agreement. We've talked about the fact that when I come back, ethically, I should stay for a year. What they didn't count on was that while he was on his sabbatical, another of our sister congregations decided they really liked that minister too, and so they went and recruited him very heavily. And they offered him a really good job, a great opportunity. And he said, no, no, I can't. I'm on sabbatical. And I got to stay for a year. And they kept after him and kept after him and kept after him. When he came back from his sabbatical, this other church kept after him and kept after him. And finally, less than 6 months after he'd taken a sabbatical, he left his church to go to this other opportunity. Sabbatical's a risk. We don't know what comes from it. But for every story like this, there are dozens of instances right here in our region where ministers come back to churches from sabbaticals refreshed and rejuvenated, where congregations come back from sabbaticals clear-eyed and hungry and focused, where churches are able to move forward in ministry and mission together, refilled with God's Spirit. But it is a risk. I'm disappointed in that minister. I know him. He's a friend. I'm really disappointed in the church that pursued him. Because they know better. They know the calamity they were going to leave in their wake. They did it anyway. Don't get me wrong, I wouldn't have minded if they'd done it to the Methodist or something. But come on, we know each other. I was disappointed, and I don't always finish my stories. I will tell you, the church that was the minister left is going to be fine. They have strong lay leadership. They have a fantastic associate who has stepped up to be their acting senior, who they're getting ready to ask to be their permanent senior minister. She was having a conversation a couple weeks ago with one of the church members. she mentioned the word sabbatical, and the church member said, "We don't say that word around here anymore. That is a dirty word." And the minister had to take a breath for a second, collect herself, and she said, "Okay, a couple things. Number one, you're angry, and you have every right to be angry. You absolutely should be angry. Number two, sabbatical is not a dirty word. It's a biblical word. It's in the Bible. God was the first one to take a sabbatical, took it on the seventh day. We call it the Sabbath." And she said, "We're going to keep talking about sabbaticals because they are good things. They do benefit churches. They do benefit ministers. And in a year and a half, this new pastor is going to be eligible for hers because she's already been there for so long." As I thought about that story this week, as I had that conversation and learned that information, I was filled with thanksgiving. Thank you for being willing to take a risk. Thank you for being willing to risk something, to dare something, to step out and do something that you haven't done before. Thank you for stepping out of the boat and saying, "I don't know exactly what's going to happen here. I don't know where this is going to take us. But let's take the step and see." We're called to be bold as disciples, to not play it safe, to not stay in the boat, but to take the grace of God to the world, to step out and follow where Jesus is calling us, even when we can't see the path, even when we don't understand why. And that means sometimes we're going to have to get our feet wet. We're going to have to step out and risk sometimes. We're going to have to dare the waves to crash a little harder. But we serve a bold God who is calling us out of the boat. Some people will tell you, if you don't get out of the boat, then you won't get your feet wet. But the truth is, if we don't step out of the boat, then we're never going to get our feet wet. We're taking a step in faith together. We're trusting that Jesus is there with us on the water. We're trusting that Jesus will save us as long as we keep our eyes on Him, as long as we step out of the boat. It is a risk, but I believe it is one worth taking if it can help us step one step closer to Jesus. Amen.